Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we are taking a break from our study of the book of Revelation to look at the book of Proverbs with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Well, we've been doing kind of the introduction to the book of Proverbs, and we're continuing on with that. This is week 3, and we're just going to do a quick review, a quick summary of the things that we've learned, because we need the repetition to help remember it, and we need to kind of get that mindset back as we're looking at these things, because they build upon one another. And so one of the first things that we looked at the very first week from week 1 and 2, one of the first things that we made sure to understand was that the Bible is the basis for critical thinking. That was one of the very first things that we covered. And it's important that we mention that again tonight for something later that we'll talk about. You see how it all connect. But just as a way of review, the Bible is the basis for critical thinking. We looked at a few needs that we had: the education, the humility, participation, examination, initiation. Then the one that I didn't have time to add to, but we talked about, was that need for observation. That was that learning and gleaning from the people that God puts in your life, things that you're supposed to observe some things and learn some things. I'm still waiting. I thought this was a smart group of people. Nobody has come up with the Asian for that second one, and it's driving me crazy. So one of y'all eventually, I'm sure, will let me know. Speaking of letting me know, I appreciate everybody that's mentioned about their own personal study in Proverbs. People have given me different notes and analogies, illustrations, things that they've picked up across the years, and I just enjoy being able to share those things with y'all, and I appreciate y'all sharing them with me. So we went over these needs there at the very open to the book of Proverbs. We looked at the spirit being incorruptible, but the soul is not. And that's an important thing to remember. Okay, we looked at the what. When it comes to Proverbs, the what. That it's a textbook on how to live a godly life through repetition of wise thoughts. That's why you're hearing a few things again tonight that you've already heard the past week or two, because we need that repetition. It's how we learn in school. It's how we learn in life. We do it more than once, hear it more than once. It sinks in better. So Proverbs does that. It's a textbook on how to live a godly life through repetition of wise thoughts. To condense that, it's simply to apply divine wisdom to daily living. And to condense that even further, it's just simply to think better. That's the what that Proverbs helps us accomplish, is to think better. The who is, okay, who's it for? All. And we looked at that before. But just as a reminder, that while we'll read through, and some of the wisdom in there might seem like it's targeting the younger generation, or it's for the man, or for the woman, or even for the wise. The wisdom that's laid out is available to all. And we looked at that in detail, so we won't review that. But that wisdom cries for all, the sons of man, everybody, in the chief places, and it's available. There's no excuse. It's available to all. It's not like these other schools that we think of today where it's only open to the elite or a select few. All throughout history, there's been the highest places of education, but it's not open to everybody. It's only kind of open to those elite, as we might would think. Well, wisdom's not that way. It's available to all. So nobody's excluded from this. That was the who. Then we ended on the way, or the how to get wisdom, last week. And we learned that God uses people in our life to educate us, exhort us, and encourage us. We looked at the origin of Solomon's wisdom, and that it didn't come from the dream where the Lord appeared to him, but rather it came, he gleaned that from his father, David. He learned a lot of this stuff. And it was really the amplification of wisdom that happened after that dream, and not the origination. He'd already been learning some things. And so the way is that God uses people in our life to educate us, exhort us, and encourage us. And we looked that the use of wisdom, applying it, is ahead. The pursuit of wisdom is behind, and the source is above. And we talked about that last week, and we got to make sure we get all 3 points, because if we miss one, then we miss wisdom. If we're not using it ahead, for what benefit is it doing us? Well, if we're not gleaning it from what's come behind, we're going to learn everything the same way, the hard way, same mistakes. And if we forget that the source is above, then you'll make the biggest mistake of being filled with this earthly, worldly wisdom, and you'll completely miss the point of it all at the end. And so we looked at that, about the way, the importance of these things. And that's where we had ended, was in verse number 8 of Proverbs chapter 1. And it said, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Now, it's important that we understand this relationship. Proverbs really opens reinforcing that first commandment with promise that we think of. That first commandment with promise. We see that Ephesians 6:2 tells us, "Honor thy father and thy mother," which is the first commandment with promise. Also, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, it talks about the importance of respecting the elders, the relationship that we have one with another. It comes from Exodus 20, which talks about, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And that's what he means there when he refers to that first commandment with promise. With promise. Can y'all hear me okay? Did I die? I think I'm still on. You can hear me now? Well, you can hear me rattling around, but you can't hear my voice. I don't know why that is. We'll have to figure that out. I tell you what, let's just use the pulpit. I won't knock it too much. You can hear me better now?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that. That just reinforces what the pastor was talking about this morning, about being dependent on technology. You just never know when it's going to act out. And so that first commandment with promise. I know we're really kind of flying through this, so to speak, but it's a recap. You should have kind of got this the first week or two. We're just trying to reset everybody on the track, so to speak, is kind of the benefit of this. But talking about the honor in thy father and thy mother, and looking that Solomon gleaned these things from his father, the wisdom and all that was taught to him, and how much, I'm not going to ask how many people do it, but one thing I ask you to do is take a good reference Bible, good study Bible, and go through the book of Proverbs, and in the margin or on the sides, wherever the references are in your Bible, to just see how many times the Psalms is referenced throughout Proverbs. It'd knock your socks off just how often you hear something that's attributed to Proverbs, and rightfully so, but actually is already coming from the Psalms. It's not an original thought, so to speak. It's something that Solomon got from his father. Okay, here's why this is important. We're going to understand the importance of that relationship between a parental figure and a child, along the lines of education and all. And let me just help set the stage a little bit. In 2 Kings 2:12, Elijah's being taken up, and Elisha saw, and he cried. What did he cry? "My father, my father." That's what he called him. When Elisha's fallen sick and he dies, the king of Israel comes down, wept over him, and calls him, "My father, my father." Okay. In 1 John 2:1, he says, "My little children." Now, are these the actual... This isn't a biological relationship. It's not the actual parental figure that is related biologically, but it's spiritually. There's a spiritual parent-child relationship that we see all throughout Scripture, in the Old Testament and in the New. And we looked at that again last week, so we're not going to dwell on that a whole lot for the Old Testament, but I want to set the stage for the New Testament for you here so you can hopefully see something special. "My little children," he writes in 1 John 2:1. 1 John 5:21, again, he says, "Little children, Jesus said unto them," to the disciples, he said, "Children, have you any meat?" Time won't allow, but Jesus referred to other people when he's healing them. People come with ailments, diseases, and about he heals them. "You know, thy face made you whole." He refers to them as "son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven me. Thee, daughter, be of good comfort." Jesus used these words, and there was a reason, because spiritually there's a parent-child relationship that we need to recognize and understand. 1 Timothy 1:2, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith." 2 Timothy 1:2, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son." Titus 1:4, "To Titus, my own son, after the common faith." 1 Corinthians 4:15 talks about, he references them as beloved sons, and he tells them this, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel."
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc.org to hear more teachings like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly is our prayer.